Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jarrow, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jarrow.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jarrow.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 60 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. We are back. I am joined with my co-host, partner in crime, Mr. Mike Ward. Mike, how are you doing?
Really good. Can't complain.
Excellent. We're back at it again. We're trying to get back onto the schedule.
Yeah.
It's been good. It's been good for the last few handful of weeks. How's your running been going, your training?
Good and bad, you know. I've had a lot of success, I think, in training for grandmas and putting together a training program, but I've also had a lot of failure, or maybe just
temporary setbacks.
Temporary setbacks. Yeah. I've had several setbacks in general. You know, some are kind of maybe not so avoidable. Some just not being smart or as dedicated as I could or should.
Yeah
pretty good though, all things considered, I guess.
Well, you ran Fitgers.
Yep.
And we'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll talk about the race, and we'll talk about kind of your race and everything too later on in the podcast. That was a for those of you who did run it, I think you know kind of one of the major factors of that race this year. Obviously a new course, but then it was quite a day out there, I think, for a lot of people. So,
should we get
started?
Let's
get in it.
So, race results, Fickers 5K. The winner of that race, Scott Bailing, he's won that race I don't know how many times. We could probably look it up, but won again wearing bib number one with a 15:56 on a windy day, so not too bad.
I think I saw maybe where he now has the most Fickers 5K wins of anyone.
Okay.
Is that right?
Wow.
So, former podcast guest of ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just keeps coming back and putting up good times, so 33 years old for Scott. I think he's going to put up a couple more wins in his career. So.
Yeah, really good job by him. I mean, to still be running those kinds of times into his early 30s at this point for 5Ks.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Not everybody can do that. So he stays dedicated and works hard. So props out to him for that.
Definitely. Nice work, Scott. The first place female was Alyssa Nash out of Minneapolis with a 19:22. Mm-hmm. So we had 857 finishers in total in the 5K race. The other race that we talked about last month, which was actually run today, was the Lade 5K at Lester Park here in Duluth. We don't quite have results for that yet. And then we also have some results from the Boston Marathon, but we're going to focus on just the Duluthian finishers.
Yeah, even just locals. And just kind of run down. There was 10 Duluthians. I know there's also a couple of superior people, Sarah Anderson being one, and she's run multiple Bostons, I know. And let's see. Let's just quickly run down the Duluthians. We had Jackson Luther. We had Sam O'Donnell Hoff, whose name we've mentioned quite a bit on the podcast. Tony Hoff, who ran a nice time. Chelsea Youngberg, who we're hoping to have as a guest here soon. All of those four people all ran sub 3. Susan Drackey, who we should get her on the podcast sometime. That she would be good to talk to. But she ran really well. Yeah. Steven Sandberg, Louis St. George had a nice time. Hannah Torvey, Megan Behrens, and David Taylor all completed the Boston Marathon from Duluth. So shout out to those people, and great job out there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be a pretty dedicated runner, like pretty serious, to finish Boston, right? I mean,
I think especially living up in northern climates to train in the weather that we have to train for.
Yeah.
To run an April marathon, yeah.
I mean, granted, it's a, you know, extremely famous and sought after race to get into, but mm-hmm. to have just 10 people just from Duluth, I mean, not even like the, we didn't even go deep into Superior, Esco, Cloquet, I mean, other
yeah.
areas, but just 10 people just from Duluth.
And that's who went out and ran it. There are other people who qualified and didn't go do it.
Yeah.
And then many of these people that I know that have, you know, they're multiple time finishers of Boston. Yeah. They're kind of out there every almost every year.
Right.
Yeah. And there are plenty of others who, I mean, just I can think of off the top of my head that have been out there multiple yeah. times to Boston as well. So, yeah.
Just kind of nuts to me, like little old Duluth, and then
yeah,
just the depth of running talent, I guess, in the cities.
That's yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
Yep.
Congrats to all the finishers out there at Boston Marathon 2023. Moving on to upcoming races, we have a lot. This is it's always like nothing, yeah. nothing, and then May rolls around and all different types of races. I don't know if it's a weird month, but we have a lot on the same day mm-hmm. This year. But first thing to mention is the NMTC Spring Trail Race Series. So that is getting started this week here as we record. Every Wednesday in May, except the last Wednesday, there is a race. So Wednesday, May 3rd is the Bear Creek Trail. That's in Superior, 7.3 kilometers. That starts at 6 p.m. There's one kind of weird race. The Spirit Mountain 10 Miler is on Sunday, May 7th, 10 a.m. That's a really fun one. And then the next Wednesday, the 10th, 6 p.m., Point Pine. That's at the end of Park Point. That's a 4-miler. 1 week after that, May 17th at 6 p.m., Billings Drive with a 7K. And then 1 week after that, May 24th, 6 p.m., we have Woodland Run off of Jean Duluth Road here. And then the final Wednesday in May, the 31st, is a rain date. So if there are, you know, conditions that trails aren't open yet or whatever type of situation is going on, if it's raining or lightning, the 31st, that last Wednesday, is reserved for a fill-in date. Although the first couple are on, I guess, all-weather type surfaces. Correct. Bear Creek, Spirit Mountain.
Yep.
And I think they consider Point Pine. I guess I'm not sure.
I'm not sure about that one. Yeah.
I mean, they kind of plan it out knowing that it can be pretty mucky and nasty and even snow.
Yeah.
You know, into May. So
I don't know if that one's ever been canceled or postponed, though, due to yeah. weather. We actually had that big storm. We had to delay it that 1 year.
Yeah, it was delayed one
about
year.
About five, six years ago.
Yeah. yeah. I think Billings Drive, a lot of these, you know, can be kind of modified to be on roads or
correct.
Paths like
some,
anyways.
Some but gravel or something. Or, yeah.
Yep. Obviously, it's been pretty wet year so far with a big snowpack and everything, so we'll see how everything dries out, I suppose. Packed month of NMTC races. Those, again, fill out a waiver. There's an optional donation. Mm-hmm. What I like to do is just donate, you know, $20 or $50 at one of the races, and then
then you're good.
I'm good.
Yep.
Some people, kind of the old school way, is $1 per race. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously it's a nonprofit club, NMTC, that puts this on, so your dollar goes far.
And then it also helps fund the Voyager races.
Right.
Well, the Voyager and then the
Eugene Curnow
Trail Marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next, we have the Moose Run. That's a 5K and a 10K in Moose Lake, Minnesota. That's May 6th. And then we have three races on the same day. There's the Pike Lake 10K and half marathon. That's in Duluth on May 20th. The Madeline Island Marathon, which is a marathon and a half marathon. 10K
correct.
As well?
Nope. I think they just have the half and the full.
The two distances yep. on May 20th. And then the Superior Spring Trail Race Series, or Trail Race, period. there's three different distances up to 50K, and that's in Lutzen area, also on May 20th. Moving on, trail conditions. Trail conditions are closed throughout the city of Duluth right now.
Yeah, we're recording this on, what is it, the last day of April, on the Sunday. and hopefully we're kind of peeking at the weather for the upcoming week. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of sun, but maybe not as much rain. It might just have be cloudy, windy days, and that can somewhat dry out the trails a little bit. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, once the buds start forming on the trees and the mm-hmm. greenery pops up, it seems like that's like the
yeah.
the sign that the trails are dry. But I think obviously the weather helps tremendously. So
yep.
One of my favorite resources is DuluthMN.gov on the parks page and the trails section. In the hiking trails section, there is a pretty detailed page showing trail conditions throughout the city. Also, there's some really good links on this City of Duluth website for like the Superior Hiking Trail Association, the COGS website, both of which have kind of real-time trail conditions. And there, I never really noticed this. There's a kind of interactive online trails map. They didn't seem to really show if certain trails were open or closed, but mm-hmm. Might be a cool resource to use regardless of the spring closure. I would recommend just searching natural surface trails, City of Duluth, and that's what popped up for me on this DuluthMN.gov website. Great resource there. I am not sure, however, like one of my go-tos when the trails are closed, Tony, is gravel. And I know you've kind of peeked at a bit of gravel. What's the status?
Yeah, it's actually the gravel is looking pretty good.
Awesome.
Yeah, I haven't ridden it, but I know that some people have been getting out and riding some of the gravel a little bit. And that is, I guess sometimes it's going to be a little different than getting out there and running on it because there's a little bit more kind of force down with the thinner tires, and it's thinner than a foot.
Right.
But yeah, from what I've seen, we were out in the Lakewood Township area a couple of weekends in a row with my group doing some of the hills out there, and then there's a handful of gravel places, and it all looked pretty good, better than I actually thought it was going to look out there, given the snowfall that we had this year. Also, this isn't quite Duluth, but we were up the shore over this past weekend and peeking at some of the gravel roads up there just past two harbors. They looked pretty awesome. Decent.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, certainly runnable and not overly soft or muddy or anything. So I was pretty surprised.
Yeah. I mean, in lieu of the trail and just like, you know, even if I'm, for instance, training for Grandma's Marathon, it's, I think, great to get like long runs and as many runs as possible, and that's kind of softer surface. But I've been kind of scared. I haven't even looked.
Yeah.
But I hate like the puddles and like the just really mucky and ice. So.
And yeah, you can certainly get that, especially on trails that are, or on roads, I should say, that are really shaded.
Yeah.
And don't get as much sun, that snow and ice can kind of stick around a little longer. Also, too, when you're running to get, and you live in town, to get to gravel, it generally means either you got to run a long ways or you have to drive out somewhere, which isn't always the most convenient thing.
Right.
So, yeah, those are often your only options, though.
Yeah. We will report back, though. Typically, you know, May is when they kind of turn around. So keep your eyes posted and, you know, respect the trail closure. And we'll be running in the woods soon enough, I think. Mm-hmm. Moving on, Coach's Corner. What do you got for our listeners this week, Tony?
Well, this is only kind of a Coach's Corner deal, more of just kind of I wanted to relay an experience that I had on Friday, which was a lot of fun and nerve-wracking and unique. I've never done it before. But and I only bring it up in the Coach's Corner because it was some coaches that asked me to do this. But
so the coaches cornered you?
Yeah, they did. That's exactly it. That's a good way to put it. Well, no, I mean, I said yes. I was going to say yes, so that wasn't a big deal. But I got to be the starter at a high school track meet on Friday, which was
cool.
A lot of fun, you know, firing the pistol and kind of yelling on your marks, set, and then bang.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot to it, and I didn't really know. I'd never done it. It's not. I had never really followed it or paid attention to kind of what goes on. I was trying to read up as much as I could off of the USATF website.
Wow.
To read, you know, the duties of a starter, which there are many.
Yeah.
Far more than ready, set, go. There are far more duties.
Really? Just squeeze your finger.
Yeah, you'd think so. But no, there's quite a lot, and I learned a ton on that day. I got a lot of help from the coaches that were there. I got a lot of help from the timing people. It was the Wayzata timing, and they were really nice and helped me out a lot. But it was a blast, and I would definitely like to do it again for sure. But unique experience. So if you go to a track meet, you know, pay attention a little bit to kind of that person, the starter, and see kind of how what they're doing, and just the, you know, the race officials and the jobs that they're doing.
Yeah,
it's pretty interesting. It's sort of like organized chaos.
Well, yeah,
you know, yeah.
I mean, at the start line, all the tension and the excitement, and I mean, I feel like that's maybe amplified for like a 60 meter or 100 meter dash anyways, you know, because it's all about the start, right?
It is. Like that. And it's not complicated to just pull the trigger, but it can be nerve-wracking when you have a misfire or the blanks are, like, your entire cartridge is spent.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The gun that I used held eight. There were eight chambers.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of keep track in your head, like, how many you've used.
Yeah.
And if you forget, then all of a sudden you're, like, pulling. Well, there's one race where I was like, click, nothing. Click, nothing.
Oh, no.
Like, oh, no. I think I'm totally out. I think I don't think they have an actual live blank anymore. They're all spent. Yeah. So quickly, another gun was given to me by the timers because they had one there, and then we got that one off. And then I quick changed all the blanks real fast. Oh my gosh, that part that was nerve wracking.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's just waiting.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then we had a camera freeze at the finish line of one of the 100 meter dashes.
Yeah.
So they had to run it again, and these kids are like, "Wait, what?
Oh no!
I have to do it again?
No way!
Yeah, they did.
There has to be a backup."
They had a backup camera and they both froze.
No,
it was like cold and rainy and
it was
that part, that time of the night was kind of gross.
Wow.
Yeah, so I felt bad for those kids.
Wow, unbelievable.
Yeah, but it was a crazy experience. It was a lot of fun to be in.
Yeah,
and you know, it's one of those things where if you don't quite know how to do it, you get in, you do it, and you're like, okay, next time I do this, I'm gonna I'm gonna learn more and more about it.
Yeah,
and I'll be able to do it better next time. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
cool. Next we have a shout out section. I know you have a couple shout outs, Tony.
Some of my runners, Dave, who ran Boston, Dave Taylor had a nice race out there. This is the second year in a row that he's been out there now, and I'm trying to think, either second in a row or second time in 3 years. He had another good race out there. It wasn't quite exactly the time we were looking for, but still a good time. And I think he performed really well. The weather conditions were kind of Boston-like. They weren't ideal, but they were kind of a factor, but maybe not a huge factor.
Sure.
Also, a huge shout-out to Chelsea Young, who we're hoping to have on the podcast soon. She ran a 2:54, which is a really good time.
Wow.
Out there. And then two other of my runners who ran at Vickers 5K, Alex, who finished third overall, and Tiffany, who finished second female.
Nice.
Really good performances from both of those two at Vickers. I was really, really proud to see them do well.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Next gear review. I was hoping to review a new pair of shoes that I got, the Mizuno Wave Sky, which I've run on them before. I mean, I was going in looking for a plotter, just like something to like just log miles in, nothing fast, just like pound the pavement, protect my legs, protect my feet, the plotter. I made a grave mistake buying my previous pair of shoes, which I was looking for kind of like an all-around kind of just beater for the spring, and I bought them just too small. Like, I know I shouldn't be buying 11.5 shoes. Like, I've upgraded to 12. I have plenty of 12.5. So in the Wave Sky, you know, they brought a pair out, and we don't have 12 or 12.5, but we have 13. And I tried them on, you know, and a bunch of other shoes. Trying to compare, boy, I was swimming in those Mizuno Wave Sky, just swimming.
Yeah.
And very flexible, you know, the kind of outer as well. But they felt the best, and I bought them, picked them up.
Yeah.
And I've been liking it. So I think, you know, it's interesting now having like a size 13 and a size 11 and a half, you know, a little bit different shoe for different purposes. But for the plotter, it's like all size way up. I think that's maybe something that gets forgotten about a little is, you know, sizing up specific shoes for specific purposes like that.
Yeah.
And for me, like, you know, this is kind of like a long run or just general daily road, smashing, hitting the concrete, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think big size 13 works, you know? It feels pretty comfortable with like a thicker pair of socks. And I think that even provides a little more protection against the road vibrations as well. So I'm pretty pleased. At first I had a buyer's remorse, like, what am I doing? You know, I made two bad shoe size mistakes in a row. Like, what am I, a newbie or something? But I think ultimately I've liked the shoe. And the shoe itself, you know, solid, really kind of stiff, which I like. It's a neutral, kind of high cushion shoe. Feels nice and soft, just like a wide base, kind of good platform. So
yeah, when your foot puts down on the ground, it's stable. It's not going anywhere.
Right, yeah. Right. And I like a kind of a firmer, almost like bouncy ball type feel, more so than a like soft plush, like hyper plush marshmallow feel. So that kind of check that box for me.
Yep.
Underfoot kind of style. So yeah, I'm liking the Mizuno Wave Sky.
You know, they have a saying in the car sales world. They say there's a butt for every seat.
Yeah.
Like every car has a customer out there for it.
Right.
And the same thing with shoes.
Yeah.
You know, there's a foot for every shoe, and there really isn't good or bad, you know, should I get a flexible shoe or a stiff shoe? Should I get a low drop or a high drop? Should I, you know, all this? The answer is kind of like yes. It's all good. You have to find what works for you. And
yeah,
you just explain, like, you've got between sizes 11 and a half and 13 in shoes.
Yeah.
But they kind of both work for different reasons and situations. And
yeah.
You know, there's not necessarily a wrong answer all the time.
Yeah. I'm going to wear them both out, you know.
Maybe it's better to say there's a lot of right answers, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
I think. And then, you know, the only downside to, like, my situation is now I just have, like, 9 pairs of running shoes.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, hey, I'm not going to, like, quit running anytime soon. Like, I have faith that I'm going to wear them all out and run 300 or 500 miles in every single pair of those shoes, get their life out of them, on to the next. So
yeah.
Oh well,
I haven't ran in a pair of Mizunos for a long time. Even before, like, I was always a pretty big Mizuno guy even before I even moved to Duluth. I mean, some of my first running shoes, well, I think I started out with some Adidas, but my first kind of like fast shoes that felt really good and kind of performancey were Mizunos. And I kind of was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna keep trying these.
Yeah.
And but gosh, now it's been a little while since I've had a pair of Mizunos.
Yeah. Well, if you're looking for a performancey fast shoe, don't get the size 13 Wave Sky.
That would be I would sublet space in that shoe for my foot size.
You could carry a couple gels in there, you
right
know?
Yeah, totally.
For the long run. I'll say like a full size too big Mizuno Wave Sky. Yeah, that's not your feel fast. Go.
I would probably look at maybe like the Rider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah. It's kind of performancey, kind of. It's like a Nike Pegasus. Yep. You can use it to go ahead and do a long race in, or you can use it to just plot out a 20 miler if you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? Any gear that you've been toying with lately?
Yeah, actually, you know, I've had these for a little while, and I kind of forgot about them in the last maybe even two podcasts, because I got them as a Christmas present, but I hadn't worn them for a little while until just recently with this more springy kind of weather. Spring in kind of quotes, because it's barely been spring. But I got a pair of running pants from Tracksmith, the Session pants. Kind of slightly on the thinner side, so they're not quite a winter pant. You would want maybe like some tights underneath them if you wanted them for winter, but they're really nice for this kind of 30 and 40 degree temperature. Where I feel like anymore, I'm not really ready for shorts yet. It used to be I was 30 and I put shorts on, I'd be fine. I just don't feel like that anymore.
Yeah.
But they're just really comfortable. They've got two zippered side pockets, which is nice. So then if I want to wear them over shorts and maybe go get a coffee or something after a run later on, I can have my wallet and my keys in zippered pockets on the side, and it would be just fine to go to a coffee shop in or grocery store or something like that. But they just perform really nicely, and I like the fact that they're kind of, you know, light, and I don't know what the word would be, sort of breezy or whatever. Like,
sure,
you don't quite notice you have pants on.
Okay.
And they're not overly baggy. They're still tapered at the ankle.
Yeah.
They're zippered down there, so you can take them off over shoes if you need to, and put them on over shoes without having to take your shoes off. Yeah, just a really, if anybody knows Tracksmith stuff, the quality is outstanding. And
yeah,
I'm just, they're great pants.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Yeah, I found it's hard to get a high quality pair of the kind of the spring pants, because I feel like they're, like, they have to be light. They can't be like a deep winter pant. There's like layers and like the wind block, and I mean, they last forever,
right?
And I had one pair of spring pants that they almost like disintegrated just because it was like too thin material, and just with the rubbing, you know, and running use miles, they fell apart.
Literally wears fast. Down.
Yeah. So I've been trying to find that's a weak spot in my clothing arsenal right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that I have them, because, like I say, right, this time of the year right now, they've been ideal.
Nice. So. Nice. Next, we have a route of the week, a route that I've really enjoyed. I ran it last week for a long run, was along the scenic North Shore.
Yeah.
Love doing the North Shore, especially in the springtime. There's just something about it. Like, if it's a sunny day and like a nice little like breeze, and it's just like so wide open, and the kind of the road grime and the snowbanks melt, and it's a really fun route to run in the springtime, and especially with limited options, you know, with maybe gravel roads being questionable and trails being shut down. Especially for a long run where you just kind of like zone out and log them. I don't know if there's a better route than getting up the shore, like from Brighton Beach area.
Yeah, particularly if you're, well, coming back, maybe you get a tailwind or something like that, which is really nice. You know, this time of the year, sometimes it can be extremely windy and you might have a strong headwind.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like you say, you can kind of zone out. You have to worry about turning.
Yeah.
You just run straight.
Right,
and then turn around and run back, or if you're doing it that way, or
don't drift into the driving lane.
Exactly.
That's about it.
But they made that shoulder wider, the driving lane more narrow, so that's nice. So it's a little safer now.
Yeah,
and I think a good way to do it, if you can get someone to drop you off and do just a point to point, drive you up the shore and run back to a car or to your house or however you want to do it, back to the lake walk and into town or something like that.
Yeah,
I think that's a nice way to do it. I don't know if I know some people do that, but I think the vast majority of people kind of start at Brighton and do it out and back, or start somewhere down there and do an out and back.
Well, what I did for a 20-mile run on Sunday was start at Leicester, end at Leicester. Parked there.
Yeah, that's a great spot to
park. Went out on the old North Shore road.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is like, I don't think there's a single car that passed.
Yeah.
And then went across this expressway into like a little neighborhood loop.
Oh.
And then back down by the French River.
Yeah.
And then went up just a couple 2 miles and then back all the way.
Mm-hmm.
On the scenic.
Oh yeah, that's a nice route.
It was a really nice route.
Sure. That's one thing I like that route, because then you got a little bit different sometimes, maybe with an out and back on the scenic alone.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well, I just saw this an hour ago or whatever. Yeah. But that's a nice route.
Yeah.
I really like it's called East Superior Street, but that road between the scenic route and the expressway, I really like that a lot for running. It's like you say, there's hardly any cars, and when you do see a car, in my experience, they all pull way over. Used to runners and cyclists out there.
I think so.
And they're not, it's not like they're in some big hurry or anything. So they're really nice. The people that live out there are really polite.
Yeah.
and they're used to dog walk. There's a lot of dog right. walkers out there, and they just move over and
definitely.
Yeah, it's great.
It's not like 55 miles an hour either. I mean, I think it's a, what, 30 or 40 mile an hour road. I mean,
yeah, it might be 40 or 50, but
yeah, I suppose people, it seems pretty safe.
Nobody drives like 70, though, right. from what I've seen. It's just everybody's just kind of pretty casual. And one thing that's nice about that route, too, is every once in a while, if you get like a wind coming right off the water,
yeah,
you're protected from that wind a little bit right. because of the trees, either the cold or the wind itself.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Finally, what I'm into. So, yeah, Tony, what are you into this week, this month?
Well, lately? You know, last episode, I talked about the Kara Goucher book that I was reading and finished that. And I just wanted to mention, probably a lot of people who listen to the podcast are aware of this, but Kara's coming into town. Thursday, she's going to be receiving an award at the DEC for the DEC Hall of Fame, along with Scott Keenan. So two of our former podcast guests. But then Kara's also doing a book signing at the bookstore at Fitgers, or technically the signing is up in the Spirit of the North Theater, I believe, but the bookstore at Fitgers is kind of hosting the event.
Yeah.
And that's going to be Friday, May 5th at 6 p.m. And it's a free thing to attend. Now, if you want to kind of get into the signing line to get her signature on the book, you have to purchase a book, I believe. You might have to call the bookstore to verify that, but I think that's the case where you have to purchase a book. I think they're like $27 or something along those lines. But anyway, the speaking engagement aspect is free to the public. So
cool. Where can people find more information about this?
So yeah, the bookstore at Fitgers.
Okay.
I checked their website. There's not much there, but if you go to the bookstore at Fitgers Facebook page, there's information there. And of course, you can just call them too, and they should be able to answer any questions.
Got it.
That you have.
Neat. I've been into the Homegrown Music Festival lately.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I'm just getting excited about it because it starts today as we record, hours ago. So it's just so fun, especially with NMTC starting too. It's like this awakening from hibernation for Duluthians. You know, everyone's finally getting out and running the trails and going to music shows. It just feels like summer's finally here. Spring, honestly, it's like spring's finally here.
Yeah, you know? right.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing a little bit of some live music over the next week.
Homegrown is one of the really cool Duluth events in the calendar year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool to see it grow over the last, I've been here, I don't know, 15-ish years or whatever.
Yeah.
So not crazy long, but enough to see that thing grow. And it's amazing. In fact, my sister, who's a musician, her husband, they live down in Iowa. She texted me a couple of months ago, tell me about Homegrown.
You know,
like,
wow.
Like, yeah, you should come up for it. You guys would love it because they love music. They love live music. It's what they do.
Yeah.
And she didn't really know a ton about it. I'm like, yeah. Like she's like, where do they play? Yeah. Every single place in town, bar, practically, for a week straight.
Right.
You know? And it's just an amazing, amazing event, and it grows, and I think it is starting to get known out there as a pretty big deal, which is cool.
Yeah. Well, and it wouldn't be a thing if it wasn't for the musicians, and something that's just boggling to the mind.
Yeah.
I think when you get out there and you're listening, these are all Duluthians.
I know.
Like, this is not like we're bringing in people from Minneapolis or Fargo or like, this is people who live in Duluth.
And the variety of music.
Yeah.
It's not all just like Trampled by Turtles stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
It's everything.
You want to go to a metal show?
Everything.
Oh, you can mosh.
Yeah.
On a Tuesday night.
Exactly.
11 p.m.
Yeah.
Oh, you can mosh.
Yep. Jazz, electronica, reggae. I mean, it's everything. Got everything.
Hip hop, yeah.
Which is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they add like the film festival and the poetry and everything in addition to all that. And really just great ideas that it's continued to kind of grow and bloom.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think it, you know, and there are some similarities between that and NMTC as well. It's kind of just this grassroots, people come out of the woodwork. So Duluth is a cool place, and I think two things in this week, you know, Homegrown and then also NMTC.
Yeah.
In 1 week, you can see what Duluth is all about. So
Yeah, I think that's a great comparison, actually. I think you're dead on with that. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
They don't always go hand in hand, the running,
right? You might not see early. The same people. You'll see some of the same people, probably, but
It's really hard to get up for the 5:30 a.m. run and also then see the death metal band at 11 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Right. So.
But I'm going to do really hard. I'm going to try really hard to make it work. what else? Anything else we got here, Tony? Or should we wrap her up?
I think we'll wrap this part up, yeah.
All right.